So have you ever noticed that Christmas time is a season that amplifies everything? Like, the great things are great and the hard things are hard. And that's what I love about this season of Advent leading up to Christmas, because it slows us down. It reminds us that Christmas doesn't have to be this amazing production. It doesn't have to even be overwhelming, because there's a hope, there's a peace, there's a joy, and there's a love that overcomes everything. And it steadies us in every season. Advent reminds us that over 2,000 years ago, on a silent night, a light broke into the darkness, and ever since that moment, the world has watched in awe as love stepped into our mess. And Jesus changed everything, including the life that's possible for you and for me. And one of the many things I love about Christmas are the lights. Like, I love all these little lanterns and the candles and the Christmas tree. And if I could have my way, I would probably pack this whole stage out with Christmas trees just covered in lights. There's just something about it. Now, I don't always like putting up the lights myself, especially if I didn't put them away well the year before. But once they're up, I just love looking at them. There's something peaceful about them, especially in the early hours of the morning or late at night. And maybe it's even because when Amanda and I first got married, we lived in basement suites for the first 6 years. So we always were excited to set up the Christmas tree because we had more light and warmth in the house. We're like, yes. And then once everything got put away and packed up, you're kind of like, why does our home feel so dark and gloomy? But there's something else I love. And it's kind of happening today. It's when you get that fresh blanket of snow covering all the dead leaves and debris on the ground, and then the lights come on in the darkness. There's just something that's so peaceful. And I keep coming back to that word, peace, peace, peace. And it's interesting because we see it everywhere this time of year. Like, I mean, you see it on coffee mugs and ornaments and wrapping paper and stockings and Christmas cards and decorative pillows. But the real question is, why do we see peace everywhere, but we don't feel peace in our hearts? Like, we sing about it, we celebrate it, we talk about it, we display it everywhere, carry it on our coffee mugs, yet so many of us actually struggle to experience it. And why this matters is because it was actually Jesus himself who promised us his peace. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is a different kind of peace. It's not the peace that the world offers. It's not a peace based on circumstances. But it's a peace that only heaven can give. And I believe that this is a word for someone today who's just feeling anxious, you're overwhelmed, you're just up to your eyeballs in the Christmas season and everything you have to get done. Jesus is promising you his peace. But yet for so many of us, anxiety feels more normal than peace. For so many people in our culture today, it's more normal and familiar to feel afraid than it is to have a heart that's at rest. And honestly, it doesn't take long to understand why. Like, you pick up your phone and you just start scrolling through, and you're bombarded with bad news, locally and globally. People are going through really hard times. They're walking through horrible situations. It's everywhere. There's wars and rumors of wars. And then on top of that, there's just the other stuff that the world tells us we should be worried about. The measles and the bird flu and UFOs. And should we be worried? Well, the world's telling us it's everywhere. And then on top of all that, we've got inflation and interest rates and grocery prices. And people aren't just trying to afford Christmas. Young people are trying to figure out how they're going to afford life and a home and support a family. And then you've got the holidays to worry about and the crazy family to deal with. my in-laws come to this church. I have to be careful how far I go down this trail. But then, on top of it all, you've got to find a place for your elf on the shelf. How do you do it all? But then Jesus says, I've given you my peace. And sometimes in the middle of all the craziness, I want to just say, okay, God, if you've actually given me your peace, one of two things has happened. You forgot to actually deliver it, or you gave it to me and I don't know where I've put it. Like, it's not around. And it raises the question, is peace, true peace, lasting peace, really a promise for today? Like, is it applicable to 2025? Is peace even possible for us? Well, I want you to know today that peace isn't just possible, it's promised. It's not just for someday, but it's for the moments when life feels overwhelming. It's a promise that applies directly to your life, whatever it is you're facing. It's a promise for right now. So the title of today's message is Peace When You Need It Most. So let me just open in prayer. Father, I just pray that your living word, which never returns void, would just do a healing work in our hearts today. Renew our minds. God, I pray especially for those who are anxious, overwhelmed, or even fearful of what's to come. God, by your Holy Spirit, draw us close to yourself. Let us experience a supernatural peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. And let your truth renew our minds, settle our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a message series called The Joy of Christmas, where we're journeying through Advent together and discovering the true joy of Christmas. And if you missed last week, we talked about Advent being this really rich, beautiful season for those of us who follow Jesus. And for centuries, Christians have set aside the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas to prepare their hearts to celebrate Christ's first arrival, but also his second coming. So over the course of the 4 weeks, we're preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And last week, we lit the first candle, which was the candle of hope. Next week, during our Christmas musical, It's Fitting, we're lighting the candle of joy. The following week, we're lighting the candle of love. And then on Christmas Eve, together, we light the Christ candle that represents Jesus himself. And then I always love it because then we spread that light out and we all have candles, which will be LED this year, to just show how Christ's light spreads throughout the world. But today, for the second week of Advent, we lit the candle of peace and adoration, believing that the Holy Spirit will give peace to those of us who desperately need it. So if you need peace from God today, I'd encourage you, just tell him. Whisper it under your breath. Say it out loud right now. God, I need peace. I've been saying it all week, especially writing this message. But I want us to look at God's word, and I want to let him speak to us this morning. For centuries before the birth of Jesus, God's people were waiting for a Savior to arrive. They knew that one day God's going to send a Messiah to us, and he's going to send a Redeemer. And then we saw last week that when the time was just right, at the exact right time, God sent his son. And the angels announced the birth of Jesus, and they proclaim this in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. They say, glory to God in the highest. And then go ahead and say this next part with me. And peace on earth. They're proclaiming, glory to God. We praise you, God. You're worthy of all praise. And in that moment, they declare that Jesus is going to come as peace on earth. And if you go way, way back before Jesus even entered our world, 700 years before Jesus arrived, the prophet Isaiah spoke a prophecy, a messianic prophecy, about the coming of Jesus, about the coming of the Savior. Isaiah 9:6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then he gives this child four titles. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In other words, Jesus doesn't just promise us peace, he actually is peace. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. And peace on earth is literally Jesus, God's Son, coming to earth. Now, in the Hebrew language, Prince of Peace is made up of two words, Sar Shalom. Now, what does Sar mean? Sar means the one in charge, the Lord, the chief, or the general. And it's where we get words like Caesar, like C-Z-A-R, or Julius Caesar. It's the one who's in charge, the one who rules, the one who has authority. That's what Sar is. But then you have Shalom. And Shalom is this common Hebrew greeting, and it means rest, tranquility, wholeness, even completeness. Shalom is the fullness of peace. So who's Jesus? Well, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Shalom. He's Sar Shalom. And if Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, well, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that Jesus gives us two types of peace. He gives us peace with God, and he gives us the peace of God. So let's actually say that together. Jesus gives us peace with God and the peace of God. Peace on earth begins with peace with God. And this is really important because around Christmas time, we talk more than ever about Jesus being born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And why does that matter? Well, it matters more than you can imagine when it comes to having peace with God. Because if Jesus had been born with an earthly father, not conceived by the Holy Spirit, then he would have inherited the sin nature that every human being is born with. Meaning, all of us are sinners. We've all sinned. We don't like talking about it. We don't like always admitting it. But all of us are born with a sin nature. And that's why you don't have to sit a toddler down and say, today's lesson is going to be saying the word mine. Like, they already know how to be selfish. Or you don't have to teach them how to have attitude. They already know how to give you their attitude. It comes naturally because we're born with a sinful nature. But Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So his father was the Heavenly Father, God, which means he didn't inherit this sin nature, which means instead he was born without sin, filled with his Spirit, and he lived this sinless life. And that's why he was able to be a perfect sacrifice for us, because he was born without sin. He never sinned. And this is why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he said, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. On the cross, Jesus took on our sins. He who was sinless, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, he who had no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if you're doing life outside of the will of God, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have that peace with God, and maybe you're even thinking, I don't even know where I stand with God. Like, I'm trying to be a good person. I hope I'm good enough, but I'm not sure. Well, if you don't have peace with God, let me explain the good news as simply as I can. Not with my words, but with God's word. You can have peace with God because John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whosoever believes, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how dark your past is, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. So why did God send his son? Not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And scripture tells us that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all of it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And therefore, according to Romans 8:1, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. You've been made new. The old is gone. And God will not hold your sin against you. And because of Jesus, because of the finished work of Jesus, that's why you can have peace with God. You don't have to worry about where you stand with God. You don't have to fear what happens after this life. You can experience the forgiveness and grace of God today because of Jesus. And then You get to share that good news with others, your friends and family and loved ones, the people around you, and one by one, they can start coming to know Jesus too and having their life absolutely transformed. You can have peace with God because Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, lived without sin, but became sin for us. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, gives you peace with God. And not just peace with God, but also the peace of God. But now, here's the tricky part to explain. Because when I say Jesus promises you his peace, it's a bit of a conditional promise. It's kind of like when I was told as a kid, okay, Kev, you and your brother can open a Christmas gift on Christmas Eve as long as you don't fight with each other. Like, it's a promise my parents are going to let me open the gift, but if I don't fight. So it kind of has this condition attached. And in Isaiah 26, he promises us the peace of God and shows us the condition for experiencing the peace of God. Isaiah writes this, God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him and all whose thoughts are fixed on him. It's not just about doing whatever you want, living however you want, doing life apart from God. No, Isaiah is saying God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. You'll be kept in peace. You'll experience this peace as you're walking in step with God, as you're leaning on God. Now, what does this phrase perfect peace mean? Well, I think it's pretty cool because the word translated here as peace is the word shalom. And in the original Hebrew, in Isaiah 26, perfect peace is actually the same word back to back. It's shalom, shalom. And whenever you see two words back to back in the Bible, there's a theological term for it, and it's called Hebraic doubling. Now, what does that mean? Well, Hebraic doubling, same word back to back, is a linguistic technique used in Hebrew scriptures to convey an intensified meaning. So when we have shalom, shalom together, it means a perfect and unbroken peace. It means a complete well-being, inward and outward, body and mind, body and soul, mind and heart. And as I have been leaning into this and studying this, I just keep thinking, man, I want this shalom, shalom this Christmas. I want this fullness of peace. And I don't just want it for Christmas, but I want it to permeate my being. But this isn't just about a double portion of peace. It's not just like a top-up on peace. It's more than that. It's a perfect peace. But I also have to answer the question, well, if I have a perfect peace, does that mean I won't have problems ever again? Not at all. Not at all. Because sometimes you have to have problems to realize that you have peace in the middle of them. If you don't have problems, you can't fully experience the peace. Perfect peace doesn't mean that nothing's gonna break. It doesn't mean your kids aren't gonna fight. It doesn't mean that your spouse will suddenly stop getting on your nerves. That's not what it means. What this perfect peace is, it's much different than that. As we get to know the Prince of Peace, what we discover is that peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. That's what a perfect peace is. And the Bible calls it in the New Testament a peace that goes beyond our human understanding. And some of you who've been walking with Jesus for a long time, you know this type of peace. You've been through challenges. You've faced some heartbreaking situations. And yet, right in the middle of the storm, you were seeking God. And you were experiencing this deep peace that people around you are thinking, like, what's going on? Like, you shouldn't be okay. It's this quiet confidence, knowing that God hears the cries of your heart. And you know that he's going to work all things out. Some of you, maybe you had a child, a close friend, a loved one who's walked away from the faith, just wants nothing to do with church, breaks your heart, and you're praying for them. You're praying for your kids. You're praying for a loved one. You're believing the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in their life. And even though you can't see anything changing yet, you have this peace. You have an assurance that God hears your prayers. He sees you and he knows, and you know that he's going to work it out. For others, maybe it's the financial pressures. Paying the bills feel impossible. You're nervous about it, but you're trusting God and you're still putting him first. You're saying, okay, God, I'm putting you first in my finances. What do you want me to do with this? How can I best steward what you've entrusted to me? And you believe that God's going to meet every need you have according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And somehow, despite what it looks like on paper and what your accountant's telling you you should be fearful of and everything else, you just have this peace. You know God's got your back. So how do you experience this perfect peace? Well, let's look again at Isaiah 26. It says, God will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on him. And the word again in Hebrew for fixed is samak. And samak means to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. In other words, you'll be kept in perfect peace when your thoughts are leaning on God, when your mind is resting on the truth of God's word, when your whole being is supported by him. Let me ask I think it's a simple question. Which way or which direction do people fall? Down. That's true. Not where I was going, but we... They go in the direction they were leaning. Like most people, down is actually very correct. you don't fall up. But you go in the way that you're leaning. So are you leaning on the truth of God, or are you leaning on your own ability, your own knowledge, your own wisdom? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own thoughts. Don't lean on your own opinions and desires, and lean on God. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Don't lean on your own logic, your own wisdom, your own understanding, because you can't get it all done anyways. Lean on God's goodness, lean on his truth, lean on his promises. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And again, the Hebrew word for acknowledge is yada, which means to know. In all your ways, know him, seek him. Let his word shape your thinking. Lean on his strength, his goodness. Lean on his promises. In other words, surrender control to him. And this is the paradox of peace. The peace of God is found in surrender, not control. Every time you find yourself awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, stressing over all the details of what's just passed or what's ahead, trying to figure it out, trying to control it, making the pros and cons list, trying to get everything to come out your way. Almost every time you're doing that, you're overestimating your ability to control and underestimating the goodness of God. You're leaning on your own understanding. But remember, you always fall in the direction that you're leaning. It's a paradox. Peace is found in surrender, not control. So let me ask you right now, are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? Maybe it's a relationship, a person, a financial situation, health situation, a kid, a spouse. Let me just say, you can't change them. Only God can. But you'll be kept in perfect peace, all whose minds are fixed and leaning on God. So this Christmas, we have the opportunity to celebrate that Jesus is our Sar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. But just as much as Jesus gives us peace, he can also withhold that sense of peace from us at times. And if you're thinking, why on earth would he do that? Because Jesus loves you so much and cares about every detail of your life that sometimes there are moments you're about to make a dumb decision and he removes his peace from you to get your attention. Like maybe you're thinking about going into debt for some purchase with only a 28% interest rate and you just don't feel peace about it. Pay attention. Or maybe you get a job offer in another city and you're thinking, man, the money's good, it makes sense on paper, but I just don't feel peace about it. It's gonna pull me away from my church family, my community, those around. Pay attention when you're not feeling that peace. Now, it doesn't mean not to take risks. There are times where I'm scared to death and I'm stepping out in faith, but I still have that peace of, okay, God's calling me to this and I'm gonna step out and do that. But those times where I just don't have that peace, the fullness of peace, the completeness, the perfect peace, I have to pay attention to those because he is the Prince of Peace. And this is good news for everyone because God's peace is a promise. And it's a promise that you can have through Jesus. You can have peace with God. You can have the peace of God. So don't fall prey to the world's cheap substitutes, to their temporary solutions, to the quick fixes and self-help trends and empty promises. Don't trade in shalom, God's sacred, holy, unending peace, for a shallow substitute and then wonder why your heart always feels fractured or far from God. Whenever peace is disconnected from the Prince of Peace, it becomes a false comfort that never lasts. And that's why the words of Paul in the New Testament from a Roman prison are so powerful. Like, this guy is chained up, possibly gonna die, yet under the power of the Holy Spirit, he pens these words to the believers in Philippi, and he says this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but no matter what you're going through, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Lean on God. God, I'm going to trust you with this. I need you. I don't know what to do about this, but I know you're good. I know you've got my back. And when you do that, when you're leaning on God, it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." When you present it to God, it is the peace of God that is going to fill you and comfort you. Not the world's peace. The world can't give you this. The world can't take it away either. But it's the peace of God. And that's what we celebrate in Advent. Because Jesus came, you can have peace with God. And you can have the peace of God. And peace, I promise you, is not found just in the absence of problems. It's found in the presence of God. And it's a real peace that's available to all of us today. Peace with God is through faith in Jesus. The peace of God is for those whose minds are fixed on Jesus, who are leaning on him. So if you're leaning on yourself today, your own wisdom, your own understanding, lean with me. Let's lean on God together this Advent season. And let's experience the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you just for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for this church family. Thank you that you are here with us, fully present, fully good, and fully faithful. God, we proclaim with the angels, glory to God in the highest, the one who brings peace on earth through Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So Holy Spirit, would you just do a healing work right now in the minds and hearts of those who feel anxious today, those who feel stretched thin or burdened or overwhelmed? Meet us with your shalom. With every head bowed, I just want to ask, if you're in a situation where you recognize you've been leaning on your own understanding, and today you just want to experience the peace of God in a very real way, would you just lift your hand? Just as a simple act of surrender, just saying, like, God, I need your peace. Let me just pray for you. God, right now, we bring our burdens to you. You saw every hand raised. You saw the ones that maybe were just too nervous or too hesitant to let go of some of that control and trust you fully. But God, your word tells us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. So we do that right now by faith. And God, as people are just sharing their burdens with you, whether it's for a child or healing or relationships, provision or direction, whatever it is, help us release it to you fully. As we surrender the control, help us to experience your peace and not try and take it back, but just trust you with it. We thank you that as we bring our prayers and petitions to you, that your peace that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So God, give us your peace today, not as the world can give. They can't give it. They can't take it away. Fill us with your peace. We lean on you and acknowledge you in all of our ways. And just as we keep praying, there are some of you that might even say, I'm not even sure I'm at peace with God. Maybe there's guilt from your past. Maybe you feel far from God. Maybe you just don't know where you stand with God. Well, I believe the reason you feel that tension is because all of us, every single one, have sinned, fallen short, have been separated from a holy God. But the good news, the best news that we celebrate this Christmas is that God loved us so much that he sent us Jesus, born of a virgin without sin, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And Scripture promises that anyone who calls on his name will be forgiven, saved, and made brand new. You are not here by accident. God brought you here for this moment. So if you're here sitting here just thinking, I want that peace with God. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to invite you right now with boldness to just simply raise your hand so I can pray with you, so I can pray over you and just welcome you in to the family of God. Father, save us. Forgive us of our sins. Make us new. Be the Lord of our lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can know you, so we can follow you and serve you all of our days. We thank you again for your peace, God, for the peace that we can have with you and the peace of God. Our life is not our own. We give it all to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.